So it doesn't happen all that often that I get to preach on Groundhog Day. And I was going to use the time to talk about, like, I've got a lot of favorite movies, so probably, like, in the top 100 is a movie called Groundhog Day, in which the main character keeps reliving the same day over and over and over. It centers around, wait for it, Groundhog Day, where every year this little rodent emerges from their burrow to see or not see their shadow. And if you heard the news this morning, two didn't see their shadow, which means for an early spring, supposedly. I could use spring. I wrote that line before it snowed as much as it did this morning. But I could use the new life it brings. It was a dismal and depressing week. Kobe Bryant and his daughter and seven others died in a tragic helicopter crash, and the outpouring which followed was a mixture of high praise and condemnation. Then there's the coronavirus, which I thought is when you drink too much Corona, but that's not true. I've since learned. But it's also brought with it this racism and xenophobia and discrimination in response. The Republicans are looking like they're going to acquit President Trump. The teacher strike goes on. The transit strike was solved. Yay. That was the uplifting news. With lots of laughter, we held a fraud and internet safety session on Monday night. And underneath it all was a reminder that we live in times when fear and mistrust must keep us on our toes. But when those fears begin to affect our personal relationships, then community falls apart. Malcolm Gladwell, in his book Talking with Strangers, argues, "To assume the best about another is the trait that has created modern society. Those occasions when our trusting nature gets violated are tragic. But the alternative to abandon trust as a defense against predation and deception is worse. When we lose that glue of trust, what happens to the world we've created? When we let fears and worries overtake us, it's like the cold and snow of winter, making us feel shut in and shut out, emotionally disconnected from one another. When Jesus saw the crowds of shut-in and shut-out people, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, those who are persecuted, or when people revile you.'" We had an argument before church as if you say blessed or blessed. But this passage is kind of lost in translation. The Templin family, or any of the families of those who have lost loved ones, surely wouldn't describe their feelings as blessed. Blessed for being able to share our lives together, sure, but certainly what makes more sense is hurting are those who mourn. Or desperate are the poor in spirit, or humble are the merciful. These all lead us to deeper understandings of the feelings of others. Too many sermons that I've preached have made this almost like a checklist of faith. Can you be meeker? Or mourn it like you mean it? Instead, I think Jesus is preaching to the shut-in and shut-out people who have locked away their hearts and frozen up their faith to open to the springtime of new life, that we might be able to create community interconnected by the feelings we share in common. He's teaching about empathy, the need to recognize when we're surrounded by those poor in spirit or mourning or meek or merciful or persecuted. In even more updated language, and maybe you've heard this one before, but Jesus is reminding his listeners, everyone you meet is fighting a battle you know nothing about. And the sooner we acknowledge the battles that each of us are facing, the sooner we come together as a community. But there's a second language issue that is at stake here. It's lost in most translation of the Bible, But what's the assumed word in each of those proclamations? Looking for Sunday school answers here. God. God is doing the blessing. It has less to do with the person's current state of being and more about the unconditional, relentless blessing of a God who sees worth even when we do not. We may find it hard to believe God loves us unconditionally, one preacher says. Very little, if anything, in our world is unconditional. We're used to paying for our mistakes, paving our own way, towing the line, and reaping the consequences when we don't. And so it may not only be unexpected, but downright unsettling and nearly inconceivable to imagine that God behaves differently, showering us with blessing apart from anything we have done, earned, or deserve. Jesus is teaching of a God who sees value and purpose. Jesus' sermon fails to name the God, but we can write it back in. God will bless the poor in spirit. God will bless those who mourn. God has blessed the meek. God will bless those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Jesus is reminding the people on the hillside that God's active presence in their lives goes assumed. And yet when we see God, it opens us up to what God is doing in and through all people. In the battles that go unseen, Jesus is urging us to see the presence of God at work. And so I'm going to share with you these words rewritten, that you might see the presence of God. These are by Nadia Boltz-Weber, based on a sermon that she had heard. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the agnostics. Blessed are those who doubt. Those who aren't sure, who can still be surprised. Blessed are they who are spiritually impoverished and therefore not so certain about everything that they no longer take in new information. Blessed are those who have nothing to offer. Blessed are they for whom nothing seems to be working. Blessed are the preschoolers who cut in line at communion. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You are of heaven, and Jesus blesses you. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are they for whom death is not an abstraction. Blessed are they who have buried their loved ones, for whom tears are as real as an ocean. Blessed are they who have loved enough to know what loss feels like. Blessed are the mothers of the miscarried. Blessed are they who don't have the luxury of taking things for granted anymore. Blessed are they who can't fall apart because they have to keep it together for everyone else. Blessed are the motherless, the alone, the ones from whom much has been taken. Blessed are those who still aren't over it yet. Blessed are they who laughed again when for so long they thought they never would. Blessed are those who mourn. You are of heaven, and Jesus blesses you. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who no one else notices. The kids who sit alone at middle school lunch tables. The laundry guys at the hospital. The sex workers and the night shift street sweepers. Blessed are the losers and the babies and the parts of ourselves that are so small. The parts of ourselves that don't want to make eye contact with a world that loves only the winners. Blessed are the forgotten. Blessed are the closeted. Blessed are the unemployed, the unimpressive, the underrepresented. Blessed are the teens who have to figure out ways to hide the new cuts on their arms. Blessed are the meek. You are of heaven, and Jesus blesses you. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the wrongly accused, the ones that who never catch a break, the ones for whom life is hard, for they are those whom Jesus chose to surround himself. Blessed are those without documentation. Blessed are the ones without lobbyists. Blessed are the foster kids and trophy kids and special ed kids and every other kid who just wants to feel safe and loved and never does. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are they who know there has to be more than this, because they're right. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are those who make terrible business decisions for the sake of the people. Blessed are the burnt-out social workers and the overworked teachers and the pro bono case takers. Blessed are the kids who step between the bullies and the weak. Blessed are they who delete hateful, homophobic comments off their friend's Facebook page. Blessed are the ones who have received such real grace that they are no longer in the position of ever deciding who the deserving poor are. Blessed is everyone who has ever forgiven me when I didn't deserve it. Blessed are the merciful, for they totally get it. May you feel your own blessedness. With all that's right and with all that's wrong, in the closeness or in the absence of that feeling of God, may you feel the blessedness of the divine. Amen.